Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. That is Jane Mettner laying that Easter egg for us as we are about to talk about milk, more specifically dairy farmers. And tomorrow is National Milk Day, so with Mr. Greg Bach, we'll think of something
wonderful,
silly
and wonderfully
funny
and milky
to do for that, because we are the dairy state. But unfortunately, Wisconsin dairy farms losses hit a three-year high as more call it quits. And so here to talk more about the obstacles and what the path forward might look like, if there is one at all, is returning champ Pam Yonke from the Midwest Farm Report. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, guys. Happy New Year. Glad to be back.
Happy New Year. So how do we make sense of the fact that milk prices are high, but then at the same time, Wisconsin dairy farm losses are at a three-year high? Because those two things feel like with higher prices should come more relief for our family farmers, our organic farmers, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
Well, the catch is that, yes, 2022 treated our dairy farmers of all types pretty well as far as the money was concerned, but input costs were incredibly high.
Yeah.
The same two elements that I hear from dairy farmers this year, I heard last year, can't find good labor. That is in Wisconsin agriculture as a whole. That is one of our greatest challenges right now, especially at this time of the year. Stop and imagine. Today is a pretty mild day, but remember right before the holidays when we got the full frontal slap of what Mother Nature can do?
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine you're going out to the barn morning, sometimes middays and night, taking care of those animals, just trying to get them through, trying to keep things thawed, trying to keep equipment moving, and you're doing that 7 days a week. And if you don't have somebody to give you a little bit of a break, that is physically grueling. It is another one of the jobs in Wisconsin agriculture that requires you to show up. You can't do this from your living room. You can't do it via a smartphone, not yet anyhow. And honestly, speaking as a dairy kid myself, it is the grind.
Yeah.
A lot of the money that may have been made in 2022 was spent on high input costs. Energy, feed was incredibly expensive. Fertilizer to grow that feed was incredibly expensive. But I get back to the labor. I've joined you folks before and reminded people to think about quality of life. Why do we expect dairy farmers and their families to not have the same quality of life that we enjoy? Being able to take a vacation, being able to have a sick day. None of that is a foregone conclusion for Wisconsin dairy farm families. If you get sick, you still go to the barn. They call it work ethic. Well, okay, but it's something that many of us would not condone. And then you talk about trying to take a vacation. If you don't have reliable help that are going to feed the calves, milk the cows, you don't go anywhere. So like I said, the older I get and the more I see these numbers, the numbers don't change. Our trends have not changed for probably 40 years. We're not adding dairies. So the headline is always going to be striking to you. But when I look around my friends and my life is agriculture, I see that it's more of a quality of life decision. My body hurts. I can't find help. The next generation doesn't want to take over the operation as it is. And I don't want to take all of my retirement money to upgrade it.
Yeah.
The farm is our retirement. So we have to make some wise decisions about that. Now, as I've told you before, again, the headline is a little deceiving. Yes, we lost dairy farms, but we didn't lose dairy cows. We haven't lost dairy production. A lot of the farms that remain out there are, as I mentioned before, multi-generational. And it doesn't necessarily mean dad and son. It could be two brothers and their boys coming together. They add on more cows, but they've got more people to pitch in and do the work. So that model is working. I've also seen a lot of people with regard to labor, robotic milking. You can't find reliable labor. I can make an investment in technology that will at least give me one milking off, two milkings off, something where I can catch my breath if I'm sick, if there's a funeral, if there's a wedding, I have a doctor's appointment, the robots will take care of milking the cows till I get back around. So there are those stories that are going on out there as well. But people, do not ever expect to see a headline that says Wisconsin gained 100 new farms. That era is past. And like I said, just stop and think about the quality of life. If you can't imagine yourself going out and trying to thaw water pipes at minus 30, trying to keep an animal going and trying to do it all by yourself, well, now you know why some of the farmers have decided it's time to hang it up.
Absolutely. I think it was summer 2021. I spent a day out of in a dairy farm in Jefferson County with Carrie Mess, and that was very much my takeaway. She's like, "If I get I can't take a vacation. The cows still have to get milked." And I was only there for the afternoon. I wasn't there for the morning milking. I've just seen the work that goes in every day and day after day after day. And so, as you just said, Pam, with your life being agriculture, do you see this as a bad thing, or is it just is?
Well, I never like to see anybody exit agriculture. And remember, although many of the numbers that were shared in that article are specific to dairy, there's no follow-up. Many of those dairy farms are still going to, you don't sell the land. You don't necessarily sell the farm. You let the cows go. So they are still growing corn and soybeans. Maybe they're going to bring in some beef. Maybe they're going to do hogs. That's what I see happening very, very often. Once you love this industry, you can't give it up. I mean, you just want something a little easier. Yeah. So that land will stay with that family generally, or the neighbors will run it. It will stay in agriculture. So I see a lot of that. And you know, like I said, I also am encouraged when I see other people. Dairy farmers are a perfect example. They don't realize their worth.
Hmm.
And I don't mean that financially. I mean, they don't realize they do so many things that the rest of us would be standing scratching our head. They weld. They are electricians. They're nutritionists. They are accountants. They are all these things, but they only identify with the cows. So when the cows go, oh my goodness, now what? And so there's a lot of support out there to try to help those farmers understand, hey, listen, you can do this. Come work with me here. So they stay, if they want to, they stay a part of the ag workforce if they want to. But like I said, the story has been the same since I got into the business. Farmers are aging.
Mm-hmm.
The average age of the farmer out there in Wisconsin is right around my age. We're pushing 60 now. And after a while, like I said, your body may just want to give up, and you may not want to absolutely eliminate all of your retirement income by trying to do an upgrade on the facilities so you just can keep milking cows on what turns out to be a crapshoot when it comes to the price you're going to be paid in 2023.
We're talking to Pam Jahnke, who's from the Midwest Farm Report, about a new headline story that came out as far as milk prices being strong, but we're losing dairy farms again for the third year in a row. But I think that's interesting what you said. It's not necessarily that we're losing capacity, you're right that headline doesn't, it makes it, and there's this nostalgia. I'm not a farm kid, but I am a proud Wisconsinite. And there is this, you know, mental connection that we see with dairy and with our farmers. And so that headline makes me feel sad almost, right?
And
when you explain it, it's interesting because, you know, part of what I read is that the price for beef is so high right now that the record profit that this might be a good time for some of these farmers to sell the cows is part of the reasoning of why now. And it's interesting as far as the effect that it has beyond our own nostalgia, it hasn't lowered capacity at all. And so when you read something like this for the average consumer or the average Wisconsinite, what should the takeaway be? Just sympathy or empathy for people get older and this is a labor intensive job?
Oh, I'll always take sympathy. I mean, there's so much that goes on in Wisconsin agriculture that's just flat out hard work.
Yeah.
I mean, the hours, not necessarily just this time of the year, but stop and think about when it comes to spring planting. Now you're not only feeding calves, milking cows, feeding animals. Now I got to go get on a tractor and drive until midnight planting and then get back up and do it all over again. So when I appreciate the sympathy, the empathy from anybody on what they take for granted when they go to the grocery store. But I myself, you know, it's all, are you glass half full, glass half empty? I live and breathe this industry, and I see what's happening out there. And like I said, those cows may be going to a neighboring farm. The beef issue that you brought up is a great one. Because of what happened in the West, and I don't want to deviate too much off our dairy numbers, but quick clarification. So the drought we heard about last year in the West, right? A lot of those beef producers had to make some very difficult decisions and let animals go. They didn't have feed. They didn't have water. So they had to liquidate animals into the beef chain faster than they wanted. Okay, those animals are gone. You can't snap your fingers and make a market-ready steer appear tomorrow. That takes time. So we've got a lag. But our dairy producers have started to breed their dairy cows with beef bulls to fix that short gap measure. And the beef industry loves it. So again, dairy farmers are the most creative people you are going to find on God's little green earth. And they will find a way to be resilient if they want to. And I say, God bless them if they decide, I'm done. It's time for me to retire and go to the grandkids' basketball game and go to the grandkids' wrestling match. The cows went to my neighbor who I've known all my life. The land will continue to produce. I'm ready to retire.
Yeah.
Pam, we don't have much time left. Do we need immigration reform? Would this help as far as the worker shortage in our agriculture industry?
All of agriculture. It's not just about milk and cows. It's about meat processing. It's about what happens when the crops are needing to go in the ground and who's going to deliver that fertilizer. It is all of the above. So again, yes, we need common sense reform on how that program can work with production agriculture.
That was the question that I really wanted to ask. So thank you, Jane, for asking. And so that's probably a different topic we'll have to bring you back for, because I think that is fascinating to have the overlap between immigration and so many of the people who've always done the work as they've come to the country that no one else wants to do. And so for another time, but Pam Yonke, thank you for joining us. We'll have you back soon. And I hope you have a great day.
Thanks, ladies. Appreciate the time.
All right. When we come back, across the pond, there's a new book coming out. So we're going to talk a little bit about the drama around Prince Harry, because why not? This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick around.